looking back through that. So there's a lot of pictures of you. That's because you guys need to take more pictures. You need to take more pictures. So we want to see you, see your pictures, and take those kind of things. And as we go forward for the Lord, I want you to take that program you got now and keep doing what you've been doing every week. Write down 2, 3, 4, 5 names, whatever you've been doing. People you're praying for, you're asking God to help you influence for Christ. Whether that's they come sit with you in church, man, that'd be great. Whether you talk to them about Jesus, whether you invite them out for a cup of coffee or Danish and you pray with them, somebody you know needs Jesus. And I hope you'll be doing that. If you just keep a list on your phone, man, you can refer back to that. But don't go through that exercise. Make sure that you're doing that, and we want to make sure we're doing that. Flowers over here on my left, here, right there. Those are from Wayne's family, Wayne Jackson's family. They want us to have them for our service today, and sweet service yesterday. Continue, please pray for them, and particularly his daughter Piper, that some of you have gotten to know. All our we're heading out today. All our young folks, you can head out. Middle schoolers, elementary, you can move along through there. And the rest of you, if you would, Isaiah 43. How many of you felt good? You smiled a little bit as you kind of look back at a few of the things we did last year. How many of you that made you smile a little bit? A few of you. How many of you frowned? Some really good things. And we want to go forward. A couple of things just to note. Again, we tried to highlight several of our outreach events. We're not here to occupy property at a 10415 Hardin Valley Road. We're here to make a difference in our community. We're here to make a difference for the kingdom of Jesus. And so these kind of things. Missions is not just a nice add-on. Missions, missionaries, evangelism, outreach, loving our community. That's just got to be about part of our DNA. And I hope that sinks in with you. As we talk next several weeks now about going forward for Jesus and what God wants to do in our lives, particularly about what does it mean to pray and to go and how we can invite those kind of things. We'll read just a couple of verses, 3 or 4 verses this morning. If you're willing and able, stand with us. We honor God's word. Isaiah 43 this morning, verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters." If you're Israel and Isaiah is preaching this to you, you go right back to the Red Sea. It was a mess. And you were stuck, and all of a sudden God does what? "You guys go to sleep. I'll send the wind through the north. You'll wake up in the morning, and I'll blow the waters back and turn the ground into concrete. 3.5, 5 men of you can go across, and no problem." Verse 17. "Which brings forth the chariot, the horse, the army, the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? It will even make a way in the wilderness." Excuse me. "I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You've gone from there. Now you're here and you look ahead and you go, "Man, what in the world is ahead of us? I got you through that. I'll get you through this." 19, verse 20. "Beasts of the field honor me, the dragons and the owls. I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. What you need, I have already provided." Verse 21, "This people have I formed for myself that shall show forth my praise." You have no clue what I'm about to do in your heart and your life. And when I get done with it, you're going to do the only natural response, and that is praise me. That is praise me. God wants to do something new, this open door in 24. Would you pray, Father, front to back, left to right? Help us, Lord, not just a one-shot thing, not just me to communicate for a moment. Would you impress on our hearts the great desire that you have and you have always had to use imperfect, weak vessels to do something mighty for you, King Jesus? And I pray we get a hold not just the task ahead of us, but the God who is before us and who empowers us, and that we would operate in your spirit and your power. We love you and we need you. So, Father, I pray you'd help us. For those that are here today and are struggling spiritually, struggling emotionally, I pray they would understand what you say about their past and what you say about their future. And God, for those that are here and maybe they feel like a failure because they've tried and attempted and tried and attempted and they seem in their inconsistency, Lord, to be of no use, would you remind them that you are always faithful and we can depend upon you and we can learn our character from you and go forward. And there's someone here today, Lord, who would, in their journey, has figured out that they don't know you as Savior. And they need you to change their life. Would you change their life today? Would it be so obvious, so evident that you are calling them home? And would they respond in faith, in obedience? And I pray it all in Jesus' precious and holy name. God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Be seated. I like doing a little survey, and I am on the clock because we had the extra video and all this morning, so I'll be careful. We'll come back over here. We'll start over here. Anybody over here in your past, anybody over here, you got something in your past you're ashamed of? Ashamed of, all right? That's several of you. Darlita finally raised her hand. Ray was over there poking her, and he wasn't doing that, so he wasn't doing that. Right here in the center, in this center aisle, right? All right? Jesse, you didn't? Okay, Jesse's finally none. All right, I'm about to say, Jesse, I know at least four things about you, and keep messing with Jesse. I shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do that. May has already caught two on her fingers there, and she's ready for me. Anybody over here in the middle? Something you passed? Something you passed? All right. All right, Yong didn't raise her hands. I don't know what that means. But anyway, all right, I'm messing all of you. Everybody's nodding. Everybody over here? Some stuff in the past. All right, yeah. Stuff in the past, all right. And I appreciate Loe raising Betty's hand for her. And we're here. When we talk about something like our past, man, we are universally stuck there, aren't we? When you get to doing bad and feeling bad sometimes, where do you get stuck? I mean, you get stuck in the past. Anybody, you've done something recently and you go, man, I just goofed up, messed up, sinned just like I did way back yonder. And that cycle of shame and regret, man, it just starts that ball rolling and it just colors everything, doesn't it? Colors everything for me. Maybe it doesn't for you. And we struggle. We struggle sometimes so hard. And we talk about our past, and I want to help you. I want to help you a little bit. I want to give you the introduction. I want to give you some ideas, and I want to help you start. I believe that every day and that every opportunity, and particularly seasons of the year, are great times to go, hey, God, what do you want me to do? What about you and your power helps me move forward from the mess that I've made in the past? What about my insufficiency and the fact that I didn't do what I could have done, and I'm full of the shoulda, coulda, woulda sometimes? I suggest to you, you ought to reflect on the past. Last week, you ought to reflect on the past, but shouldn't remain there. Shouldn't stop there. God had formed Israel. That's chapter 44. He forgave them their sins. He was glorified in them. He is faithful to them. And it keeps on coming. It's chapter 42, the servant Messiah. It's the servant song. And we see all of this stuff, and it rolls us into chapter 43 there after the Messiah is coming, and he will save his people from their sins and all those kind of things. And he gets there, and he starts being a little rhetorical, and he says, hey, you remember the Red Sea? Man, you were all jammed up. Nowhere to go. And I brought you through that, and then you're going, man, look at the desert in front of us. There's 3.5, 4.5, 5 million of us. We got to have water. We got to have infrastructure. We got to have sanitation. We got all these people doing all these things. We will burn the ground out of any cattle, any sheep that we've picked up along the way. There is no way a traveling band of millions can do this. The future is uncertain and terrifying. He says, you know, if I can take care of your sins, chapter 42, and I brought you across the Red Sea, I can absolutely take care of what's ahead of you. And you can trust me. You can trust me. You can trust me. Let me give you 3 or 4 principles here, give you some application, and we'll be done. If you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. Is that okay with everybody? Number one, God is not restricted to the past. God is not restricted to the past. I love good stories. I love stories about yesterday. Yesterday. I love every now and then messing with my kids, talking about that we had, my brother and I were the channel changers in our house. Dad be tired of a program. My brother and I would get up and change the channel. I've tried to describe what rabbit ears are and use a tinfoil to bring in a television program, and people think I'm lying. And some of you are old enough to remember those kind of things. I remember when a clicker clicked, and I remember the first time I ever saw a remote control in somebody's house. I was like, these are the richest people I've ever met. I like to talk about the past. I've served in 2 churches particularly that were absolutely consumed with the past. No matter what went on, they would talk about, and by the way, it wasn't a long period of time that the church was really successful. It was a short period of time. when they were just going like gangbusters, and no matter what happened, I served as an associate at one church for a little while, or for a year while I was in school, and they constantly went back to that period. The church had gotten down to just a handful of people, and they had been running 800 or 900, and there was moral failure and ethical failure and financial impropriety, and there was scandal that was all over the town, but they kept going back to that one little narrow window, and the pastor for years tried to get them to look forward. By the way, they finally did look forward, and when they started looking forward, man, God just overwhelmed. It was after my time there, but I got to rejoice and go back a couple times and preach for them, and they were absolutely stuck there. Another place was right after Andre and I were married. We were there several years, and some of the folks, man, they just were consumed. I mean, 25 years previous. And they were so consumed with the past, they wouldn't even learn the new people's names. They wouldn't even pay attention. We had 35, 45 teenagers in every service. We had four high schools represented, four public schools, two Christian schools. God was calling men and women to minister. They're going off to Christian school, and God was doing revival. And all they would talk about was stuff that happened back in the 70s. And we were there, and we were just looking at them going, what are you doing? Why can't you look forward? Why can't you appreciate that? If we're not real careful, then we'll get stuck there. I'm glad God just didn't do stuff with Israel. And God just didn't part the Red Sea. And God didn't just take care of them in the desert. That God is not restricted to the past. To the past. Because we can glorify the past. We can romanticize the past. We can alter the past. Anybody in here, you got a fuzzy memory, especially if you were wrong? Anybody here ever get in an argument with your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, and they bring up the past with crystal clarity, and your memory is a little fuzzier? You don't remember it exactly that way? I'm glad God is not restricted to the past. Go there in your Bibles, there to verse 14. Behold, the days come. Jeremiah chapter 16. Flip ahead just one book. Jeremiah 16. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that it shall be no more, said the Lord lives that brought up the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. But the Lord lives that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again. You'll have a new story. If you had saved parents, man, thank the Lord. If you had saved step-parents, grandparents. But if you didn't, God's writing the story with you right now. It starts with you. If you got to build on somebody else's legacy and foundation, hallelujah, but you get to write your story. For every person under 20 in here, let me remind you, you can learn from your mom and dad, you can appreciate your mom and dad, your stepmom, stepdad, your grandparents, but God wants to write a story in your heart and in your life. He is interested in doing that. And you get to do that. And if you don't have anybody in your life that was spiritual, a new Christ or anything like that, you write your own story now. And the past is the past. You can learn from it and appreciate it and rejoice in it and all those kind of things. But God is not restricted to the past. It's not just those things. Our dear friend Matt Pettit, he came and preached for us, and every time Matt sends me something, he'll be thinking, and Matt doesn't sleep, so it's usually 10:30, 11 o'clock at night or 4 a.m., and he doesn't get me either time. I respond to him later. Rodney, remember, the West never had a great revival. The West never had a great awakening. I still think Colorado and California and Oregon and Washington, all those places, I still think they're due. Jesus tarries is coming, and I want to be a part of that if God's willing. He's not been able to, but he's got some kids over there doing that and working in camps and all those kind of things, and God is still not done because he's still writing a new story. Why? Because he's not restricted to the past. Not restricted to the past, number two. Hallelujah. He's not restricted to your past. He's not restricted to your past. You're back in Isaiah there. If you're glad he's not restricted to your past, say amen. Amen. But thou hast not called upon me, Jacob. Verse 22. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me cattle of the burnt offerings, and honor me with sacrifice, not cause thee to serve with an offering, nor weary thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, nor fill me with the fit of your sacrifices. Thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thy iniquities. I, verse 25, am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember your sins. Anybody in here pretty happy he doesn't remember and hold against us our sins? How many of you would be in a mess if he did that? Anybody? How many of you right now, you're going, man, if people in here knew what I'd done. The easy sins are the overt ones, right? fall down drunk, cocaine mustache, cheat on your spouse, blow up a family, rob a bank, etc., etc. Those are awful and terrible. But then the ones that nobody knows about, just you. I am glad God is not restrained from your past. Idea of blotting there, it's an English take on the Greek idea. The word blot would be, they would take they would take with that fountain pen or that quill pen, they'd make a mistake and they would have a sponge, but a piece of cloth, and it was used exclusively for that. And they would take and they would dab at that, and the ink would just kind of lift up. You'd have to do it quickly before it dried, obviously. And they would do that. We don't have anything similar to that, other than if you write with a gel pen or something that smears, and you get your you get your hand on it. You know that because you got the blue or the black hand. But it didn't blot it. It just smeared it. It didn't remove the ink. It just did that. The Frixion people, or the Pentel people, the Frixion pen, tried to make a pen with erasable ink, and it does a whole lot better, but it's still marking, and if you're not real careful, you'll just tear right through the paper anyhow. And some of you are like, I can do it. Well, you got a softer touch than I do. He's saying, I will do this in such a way that I remove all of that. I remove the stain and the guilt, and I choose to not hold that against you. I do what the blood of bullocks and lambs could not do. They covered your sin. I will remove your sin. I will come and do this. And God is not restricted to your past. Wayne Searle's commenting on this passage here. He reminds us of a couple of things. He reminds him, he said, this is how bad a shape Israel was in. Number one, he would give them the temple. And what they do? They gave them idol worship. That's what we do, isn't it? God gives you a little extra coin, you decide you don't need church. Excuse me. God gives you some extra free time and stuff like that. And we do all kinds of things. People worship the woods. They worship the thought of Jesus and not the real Jesus. We will give ourselves to idol worship at the drop of a hat. And he says, hey, I remember I gave you the temple. Searle says, and you gave them back idol worship. Number two, God gave them truth and they pronounced it a lie. They didn't believe the prophets. They crucified the prophets. They stoned the prophets. They cut them in half. Hebrews chapter 11, the glory and the gore. They would put some they'd have a hollowed out wood stump. They put them in there. They'd get two guys, either with axes, or they'd grab a saw on either side, and they would cut them in half while they were still alive, trying to get away. This was what they did to people who proclaimed truth to them. When he says, I forgive you your past, this is what he's talking about. God gave them commands. They treat them like suggestions. Anybody grow up with a parent, grandparents, their parent would say something, you wouldn't do it, and then you'd hear the words, no. How many of you, if I say it like that, your blood runs cold in your back anyway? No. Anybody grow up with somebody said, if I have to tell you one more time, there's two children, two young adults sitting on the second row twitching right now. Because you knew what? Time's up. Death's coming. We're just as bad as they are, aren't we? God says do X or Y, and we go, that's a nice idea. That'd be great for the preacher to do. That'd be great for someone else to do. That's for really good people. God gave them wealth, and they did what? They used it to abuse the poor. If you read your Bible and you're in the Old Testament, you hit the word usury. It was a way to charge interest and not kill the poor. They didn't do that. They got so good at it. Let me give you an example. You ever been to a store, whatever, Sam's, Walmart, something like that, and it's raining, and you come in, and they got a giant rack of umbrellas as you come in the door? Anybody ever notice that? They move that stuff around. In some stores, it's reasonably priced. In other stores, it's like, I mean, it's like you got to give them an ingot of gold, you know, to get an umbrella. But you kind of jammed up there, and you're there. They figured this out. That if you went to the temple, they'd hang out outside in the courtyard, and if you showed up without an offering, and it might be just a little bit for a bird anywhere else, for a dove or a little ewe lamb or something, and they had jacked the prices so high, they would just extort people. when they did that. God gave them wealth. They used it to abuse other people, abuse the poor. God gave them himself, and what'd they do? They crucified him, didn't he? He sent them Jesus, and they crucified him. See, my past is so awful and so bad. I offer you what Israel did, and God said, I will blot out your iniquities. I will hold them against you no more. The psalmist said, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Man, I can get pretty happy. See, I can't serve Jesus because of my past. Wrong. You can serve Jesus precisely because God has dealt with your past. God has dealt with your past. I think Searles is right. Principle number three, God gives new blessings through unknown experiences. See, I don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't know how any of it's going to turn out. If I'm not real careful, I like to give God advice. Anybody here like to give God advice? God, I'd like this and like that, and I'd like you to do it this way. It's not just that. Lord, if I do X and Y, then this will happen. And I'm going to put God in the box. I don't want to put God in the box. I want to say, God, whatever you got for us, whatever you got ahead, I need to follow you. I need to trust you. You are the God who goes before. You are the God who goes behind. I know that. I understand that. I am thankful for that. And they said, man, look at the desert. There's so many of us. And as we look at 2024, what's going to happen? Going to happen? Well, a lot of TV people are going to get rich because people are going to be buying a lot of ads for their candidate. Nod your head if you understand that. And a lot of family dinners are going to be ruined because of the politics. Nod your head if you understand that. And a lot of people who bought a lot of workout clothes in January are going to keep them hanging on their exercise bicycle as a clothes hanger. Nod your head if you understand that. I can tell you some things that are going to happen, but other things I don't know. I don't know from sun up, sun down sometimes. But I know who does know. I know who does know the future. I know who's already in the future because he's everywhere present. I know he's there, and he is asking us to trust him with new blessings. You can trust him. I preached about commitment last week and time, talent, and treasure, and testimony. I had that slide in the wrong place there. And you're nervous about maybe your time or maybe using your talents or maybe stepping up and giving or whatever it is and your treasure. And just trust me, excuse me, just trust him to know that he will take care of you. Say, I am uncertain. That's fine. You can do that. I want to spend more time there. Let me just hop back. And God gives new grace. God gives new grace. Go to verse 21 there. God gives new grace. We can give new praise. These people have a form for myself that they would show forth my praise. Show forth my praise. There's a couple things we do. There's several things we do. Specific intent. To practice praising God. We say the scripture out loud. We're trying to learn it, trying to get you to learn it, give you that opportunity. And some of you take it really serious, and by the third week or so, you've got it pretty close, depending on how long the passages are. But we are. The New Testament, Old Testament, they confessed the scripture. They said the scripture. They heard the scripture. They read the scripture. They did it together. Public reading of scripture is just as common in the Bible as anywhere else. So we try and do some of that. The second thing is we sing, because we are to be what? We are to be people who are speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're to take our text from the scripture. We're to do our best to stay by. And we try and avoid Jesus is my boyfriend kind of songs. You can get those on the radio. I'm not interested in them in church. I want to sing those kind of thing. If you sing them in the car, I don't care one way or the other. But I want us to have something here. We can sing and sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus. Why? Because that's what we're to be doing. We're to be a people that praise God. We are naturally complainers, and we should be naturally praisers. Anybody in here, you feel like you're better at complaining than you are at praising, besides me? The engineer mindset, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, and it's the wrong color. God gives new grace. See, I didn't read my Bible very much in December or January. He gives new grace. You can read your Bible before you put your head on your pillow tonight. I made whatever I made in January. I didn't give God a nickel. You can give God something today. I don't know my neighbor's name, much less invite him to church. You can invite him today. God gives new grace. He gives new grace, and we can give him new praise. I put it in your notes there, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. Why would we pray and go? Because we've been called out. I don't know my neighbor, knows Jesus or not. My coworker, man, they swear like they're trying to get on a game show. My brother, he just busted up his marriage. He's completely consumed with sin. I don't want my brother to die and go to hell. We do that because we have been called out. We've been called out. On your notes there, I gave you a little acrostic. I hope it'll help you. If you look there, it's S-M-A-R-T. Stop making excuses. And you walk through that, you can see, and I want to encourage you. I've got three questions for you. I hope you'll answer those questions. I hope you'll take them to heart. I hope you'll hear, understand, and obey what God is doing. And you'll say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And if your excuse for not doing more for Jesus is your past, come up here and put your past on the altar. That anchor shouldn't be weighing you down anymore. And if it's the unknown, everybody in this room has no idea about tomorrow. But I know who holds tomorrow. I can trust him. I'll go for it. And if it's a fear of failure, you've tried in the past and failed again, I got news for you. You got new grace and new hope and new help. Why? You be the praise of his glory. The praise of his glory. We have an awesome open door. And I'm going to say more about this in the weeks to come. Continue to say more about it. But I just want to start here. You got me through the Red Sea, Lord. But that looks a little scary ahead. By the way, it could be a medical desert. It could be a financial desert. It could be a family desert. I don't know what it is. He took care of that. He can take care of this. And I can go forward praising God, whatever is ahead. Would you pray with me right now? I love the passage. I love what's going on there, and so much more to say. Let's make it easy this morning. Say, preacher, I'm struggling with my past. Bad decisions, sin.